before I get started, I wanted to tell you this story. I heard this story about this guy who was like 80 years old, and he had two car accidents in the last 6 months, and his insurance company canceled them. And he tried to appeal this, and his point was, look, I've been driving, you know, for 64 years or something like this. I've never had an accident. I've never had a ticket. I'm an excellent driver, you know, and then I can't believe this. You're dropping me. And their answer was, well, I mean, that's great that you've been that good so far, but we're not comfortable looking towards the future. In other words, all that experience he had of good behavior and all that stuff didn't count for anything, which is a shame, you know what I mean? But you could sort of understand the insurance company's position, too. We don't like what this bodes for the future. You just had two car accidents, and now we don't insure you, you see? So that's kind of the nature of trust. It really doesn't matter how long a history you've had with a person of being able to trust them. They could be somebody who worked for you for years and years and years and years. The first time they embezzle, you don't trust them. It doesn't matter how great an employee they've been. As soon as they embezzle, you don't trust them. And so that's kind of how it works in relationships, where trust is an easy thing to break, and it's a difficult thing to restore. And you just have to kind of know that going in. You won't be able to say, oh, that was just a little slip. Okay, let's go back to where we were. We had such a good thing. Let's just go back to where we were. It's not so easy to do that. So I would like to ask people, if you could, I want to know what I'm speaking into here. So if you could please tell me, what areas do you have an issue with regarding trust, whether it's with your partner or your child or your parent or anybody or a friend? What is the issue? What is it about trust that, you know, what happens such that now that you don't feel like you trust? You don't have to be specific. You don't mention any names or anything. But just tell me what we're dealing with. I don't know whether people are calling because they're the person who lost somebody's trust or whether the person who has had their trust shaken. I don't know whether it's because of an affair or whether it's because of just not keeping your word or some promise that wasn't kept or something like that. So could anybody just jump in and tell me what is it that you'd like to work on or have fixed?
I've lost the trust of my partner. She doesn't trust me anymore.
Oh, she doesn't trust you anymore. Okay.
Right.
And do you know why?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Because I've done things that I guess I should have had.
Okay. And you're both clear on what those things are, or is it kind of a vague?
Yeah.
Okay, well, thanks. That helps a lot. Somebody else, could you say why you're on this call and how the area of trust relates to you? If you're muted, just hit *6 again and you'll unmute.
And because of that, when I get into a new relationship, the trust issue always comes up, and all it takes is a word from them to spark an old memory, which then they feel like they're being attacked because of the emotions that come up in me, and it really doesn't have anything to do with them. It has something to do with my past, and I haven't learned how to let the past go.
I understand. But let me ask you something. What are you afraid will happen? Or what do you think is going to happen in a new relationship that would remind you of the past?
I guess I believe that I may be boiling down to is they may be attracting the same people over and over again until I deal with it.
Oh, I agree with you. I think there's something to that. I was just asking you, what is the behavior that they're going to do that would hurt you or scare you or worry you?
The behavior may be where they're My trust is like if they're on the internet, because I've had issues where people were, where I was married and the internet became more important than the marriage, and meeting people on the internet became more important than the marriage.
So you could trust them to be faithful to you or be honest straight up with you.
Yes, I always feel like there's something that they're hiding. Where I'm very open, and sometimes I get, maybe I'm so open that that also puts me up there, because then, not put, I don't mean by putting me up above them or anything, but I mean it just seems like I'm open as an open target sometimes.
I see. So in a sense, what they might do would be sort of trigger a kind of a learned suspiciousness in you.
Yes.
You don't want to feel that, but here it comes again. You wonder whether you should be over, looking over their shoulder when they're writing an email or something.
Right, and you know, when you go, when you walk into the room and they're very quick to get off of an email or to sign out or something, that instantly puts up a flag to me, and it's kind of like, okay, why do you need to do that? You can stay on the internet. I'm not telling you you have to get off.
Right,
you know,
I get
so.
But if you make a big deal of it, then they think you're being paranoid and they get all defensive.
Yes, they do.
Okay, that's understandable. Somebody else, some issue that you have with trust? So I know I'm going to be covering all my bases here.
I've lost trust in my husband due to verbal and also emotional abuse.
So you can't trust that he wouldn't do that again?
Correct.
Okay. No, that's very scary. And it's actually good that you recognize abuse. A lot of people just don't even, they just take it so personally, they don't even realize that this isn't supposed to be happening. But it's very, very good that you recognize it, abuse, when you feel it and see it and not accept it. Well, there's two basic things about trust. First of all, this is really, really important, because I was trying to tell you that it's very easy to break a trust. It's not so easy to put one back together again. The first thing you have to get is that you have to give yourself time. Don't think it's going to happen quickly. And it really does take a while before you can relax again and feel all right. And it's going to take a while for your partner before he or she can relax again and really trust you. When they've been hurt, they have become very protective, and they worry that they might be hurt again. And it usually means that they haven't let go of whatever it is that they've been hurt about. And that's why it's so easy for it to repeat. So remember that whatever you're going to do, you have to have patience. Time alone will not necessarily heal anything. In the example you gave about, you know, I'm always afraid they're going to get on the internet or something like that, you can see 30 years could go by. It wouldn't make any difference. Time really doesn't enter into that at all. As soon as you have that feeling that they're being, you know, devious or distrustful or sneaky or something like that, it comes back like it was nothing. So it's not just time. Something has to happen over that time. And for that, you do have to be patient and give it a chance. And not just hope that, well, this much time's gone by, you know, when are they ever going to let me go? It's not just time. Something different has to happen. Well, here's the first thing. Let's talk about the person who, those of you on the call who feel like you are the victim of a broken trust. In other words, you didn't break the trust of someone else. They broke your trust, okay? Well, the first thing is, you don't have to work it out with them. Be very clear about that. Somebody breaks your trust, and considering how much work it's going to take to put that back together again, you may decide, I'm not doing this. That's it. You cheated on me, or you spent all our money and now we're bankrupt. That's it. We're done. Maybe I could learn to trust you again. I don't even feel like doing that. I don't want to go through whatever that's going to take. If that's your choice, that's your choice. There's really nothing they can do about that. And you have to sort of decide for yourself, is it really worth it to me? I will tell you this, though. It isn't worth working on trusting another person unless you definitely get that this is a two-person commitment. This is very important. Do not try to get back into trusting a person again without your recognition that they are fully committed to earning your trust. Otherwise, you're just being foolish. If you get that they don't think it's a big deal, if you feel like they think you're just being hypersensitive, you're making a big deal out of nothing, okay, all right already, geez, what, don't you don't make any mistakes either, whatever that is, if they don't have a willingness to see what it felt like to be on the business end of the gun they were firing, then you're really setting yourself up for a very, very, very difficult thing. It would be very difficult to trust a person who doesn't see the need for them to radically change their behavior. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So, that's what you have to kind of decide. Is this person who I feel like I've had my trust broken, do they get it? Do they get what it felt like to be me? Can they empathize? And do they see that something needs to be different, something needs to change more than me getting over myself? Because if that's the response you get, like, get over yourself, it wasn't that big a deal, you know, I didn't break any bones, okay, so I slapped you once, big deal, my God, you pissed me off, though. If you weren't such a son, I wouldn't have hit you. Whatever that is, that's a non-starter. That's a non-starter. That's not going to really get much better, in my experience. Anything's possible, but in terms of your odds, you need it to be a two-person thing, a recommitment to the partnership. If you really love this person and they love you, then it's worth working on. But you have to recommit to your relationship and doing whatever it takes, and that might mean getting some professional help too, but whatever it takes to get back to that state. The second thing is this. Some people, after a broken trust, they neither fish nor cut bait. They don't do either one. In other words, they don't really forgive the person. They never trust them again after that. But they don't break up with them either. So they just stick around and live in a state of unforgiveness. So the person who's with you is never off the hook. You're always suspicious, rightfully so. And you have your foot on their neck and you never let them up. But you're still in the relationship. To me, that is a double ripoff. You are ripping yourself off from your own vitality and joy and safety and everything else that you could be feeling, and you're ripping them off because they'll never, ever be forgiven. So it's a very, very ugly, prolonged punishment. I've seen a lot of couples do this. But they just won't do the work it takes to forgive. And for some reason, they believe that if I don't forgive them, if I stay pissed off, then that'll keep them from doing it again. But it doesn't. You've probably already noticed that. Staying angry and not forgiving a person does not prevent them from hurting you again and again and again. So it's not a good trick. It seems like it would work. I'm going to withhold my forgiveness until you really, you know, change. But that's not how it works. Forgiveness is something you can really work on. And then trust is something they have to earn. But you have to be willing to let them earn their trust and notice when they're making efforts on your behalf and be in this. It's a two-party thing. It's not like, I am completely innocent. You're the one who screwed up. Now, I'll just sit back here. I'm not going to change anything. I'm waiting for you to make all the differences. You make all the changes. And maybe we'll see. That's just tyranny. So it's a two-person thing. You have to communicate, they have to communicate, they have to change your behavior, and you probably need to change yours. I want to say this, that trust happens from a boundary violation. People have boundaries. They have certain things that have sort of a perimeter around them. There's a physical perimeter, you know, there's certain boundaries that you cross if you hit a person or if you move in too close to them or if you physically scare them or threaten them. But then there's also emotional boundaries, things that hurt your feelings really badly, things that make you feel unsafe and unloved. And when those boundaries get violated, that's normal. That's what people do. People are not perfect mind readers. So invariably, after they've been together for a while, they will inadvertently do something that they don't think is such a bad idea, but the other person is devastated by. Or they think it's you know, it's not what they should do, but they feel justified or whatever. So how you handle those glitches, how you handle those boundary violations has everything to do with the future of your relationship. But it's not a bad thing. I'm much more intimate with my wife because of all of the places where I have violated boundaries and vice versa. That's how we got to know each other. That's normal. That's what people do. You have boundaries and they always get violated. Now, what are you going to do about it? If you decide, now that you've violated that boundary, I shall never trust you again. I'll be with you, but I won't trust you. You just basically gave yourself like a long-term death sentence. That's not the way you do it. You have to learn how to use those boundaries as ways to understand each other better and forgive each other. And you get intimate through a series of forgivenesses, not through being perfect or not through making a mistake and then after that being perfect. Nobody's perfect. So it's kind of how you see it. There are definite boundary violations. You have to identify them and call them for what they are. But that's what you work with, and there's nothing wrong with that. Now, there's all kinds of things. I didn't want this just to be about affairs because there's so many ways that people break each other's trust. I knew a marriage that never worked out because of something that happened on the wedding day. It was an interfaith marriage, and both families were very into their religion. And they somehow made an agreement that they would get married in one, I can't remember which it was, but the other mother and father-in-law sort of pushed part of their religion into the ceremony after saying they wouldn't. And the husband allowed this to happen. And that wife never, ever got over that. She felt like, that was your chance to stand up for me. You knew how important this was to me and to my parents, and you promised this. And then you just let your parents run roughshod right through it and stick their own little stuff into the service. And she really never forgave him for that. And he never really got that it was a big deal, and he wondered why she'd keep flogging him years later. But there's all kinds of ways when you don't keep your word, when you don't keep your promises, when you do things that are outside the boundaries that you've already established. This is what does it. That's what makes people not trust you. But you have to work at it. It requires you to really work at it. The other thing is this. You have to be very, very clear on what you did that broke the trust. You don't want to write it off to, oh, God, if it wasn't this, it would have been something else. You really got to listen towards, slide into their seat and get what it must have felt like to be them. And then let them ask you any question they want. If it's an affair or something like this, you got to let them ask you whatever question they want answered so they're not making stuff up in your head. Don't leave it vague. Whatever they want to know, answer that. You don't have to tell them more than that, but you have to be able to answer everything they need to know about what exactly happened so they can have some sanity and feel like this is truth if you really want to get past this thing. This is what happened. This is it. You don't have to be flogged to death about it, but answer their questions so it's not just in some vague box, okay? Then, on some level, you'll have to talk about, you know, what led to this. Where did this break in trust come from? It could come from just unconsciousness and not having any idea that this would be taken so badly, and you just need to learn that about your partner. But it could be something else. In other words, I never feel like, even though affairs have to do with sex, they're usually not about sex. They're usually driven by anger that's unresolved, resentments that haven't been cleared up, and then they get expressed out in an affair or something like that. Or boredom that isn't talked about, or whatever that is, there's some kind of resentment or anger or boredom, something that really needs to be worked on as well. Does anybody have any questions so far about what I've said, or any things that you disagree with, or anything?
No.
Okay. Well, let me go to the other side. Suppose you're the person who, for whatever reason, inadvertently or on purpose or whatever, broke the trust of another person. Here's what you do. Number one, you got to be very clear on what you did that broke their trust. It's not just because you're a guy or just because, you know, that's the way you are. There's something that you did or something that you said that they felt very hurt by, very put off by. And after that, they didn't feel like they could trust you not to do this again. Okay? So, and as I said before, find out what was wrong. There's something, you know, you have to look, it takes a lot of reflection. You have to kind of look inside yourself and say, what was going on with me that I would do this? Because ordinarily I wouldn't think I would do this, but what was it? So that kind of needs to be discussed, all right? And also, find out what they want you to change about what you're doing. Figure out what they're asking you to change. Maybe you can change that, maybe you can't. At a certain point, and this is where it's good to get some coaching, let them express themselves fully, but not for the purposes of beating you up, dumping on you, vilifying you, demonizing you, or flogging you. This is partly why I do the work that I do. I have a course that I teach called Powerful Partnerships, and I show people when you're upset how to express yourself in a way that just shoots your fireworks straight up in front of your partner, but not at your partner. Because I see a lot of abuse go back and forth this way. Somebody has broken a trust, and the other person just beats them to death for years. So there's a way to do this where you express yourself with the aim of forgiving the person. The other thing is, if you're really sorry, you got to say so. If you really are apologetic, you have to say so. But you can't expect the apology to lead to them trusting you. I'll be good. I will. I'm so sorry. I won't do that again. Doesn't work. That doesn't work at all. I mean, it's nice, and you probably feel very sincere at the time, but that won't have any effect on whether they trust you. What will have the effect on whether they trust you, and this is important, is your behavior starts to change dramatically. And that means that you have to actually get more concerned with what they are upset about than they are. Now, I just want to tell you a quick story. Some people who've worked with me have heard this before, but I think it's important. And it's not as egregious as an affair, maybe, but it was still serious in my book. When I took Lauren, my wife, when she came down here and moved to D.C. from Philadelphia, she didn't know anybody. I took her to a party, and for 3 hours I ignored her at that party. We walked in the door. She met somebody from Philly. I saw she was talking to that person. I went over and into the kitchen. Next thing I know, I see these guys I haven't seen for a really long time. We start having beers and talking. I keep looking over to her. She seems like she's fine. I'm having the time of my life. I was there for 3 hours. I never once came back to her. Well, I came over to her. I said, okay. And she was still talking to that same guy. And I said, you ready to go? And she looked at me like something was really wrong. I thought, uh-oh, what was that? I thought we had a good time here. I walked outside, and she absolutely exploded. She said, you abandoned me at this party. He stayed with me the whole night because he was embarrassed that I had nobody else to talk to. You didn't even come back to ask me if I wanted a drink. I couldn't do anything. I've never been so humiliated in my life. I felt terrible for this guy. You didn't even check on me. I don't trust you. I'll never go to a party with you again. And she was really upset, and I felt like, yeah, I've really blown it now. And she didn't want to do anything with me. That was it. She didn't try that you could leave me there and not think it would be okay to check on me and just not introduce me to anybody. I didn't know anybody. It was a horrible experience. I'm never doing it. Well, I got it in spades. I really, really got what it felt like to be her. And I realized that I blew it. I felt innocent at the time. I kept looking over to her, and I was having such a great time myself. And she seemed like she was animatedly talking to this guy. Whatever. It wasn't cool what I did. But after that, she wouldn't go anywhere with me. So what could I do? What I did was I took it on. I said, listen, there's this party coming up. I would like you to go to it. This is what I'm going to do differently. I'm going to be on you like black on a bowling ball. I'm going to follow you to the ladies' room. I'll stand outside. I'll even have a system. I'll introduce you to anybody we talk to. And if I forget, you squeeze my elbow and I say, oh, have you met my wife, Lauren? This is so-and-so. And if I squeeze your elbow back, that means I can't remember these people's name. Help me out here. But I will be with you. And she finally consented to go to one thing. But she saw that on that, I was all over that. I followed. She says, you're following me around like a puppy. You don't have to do this. After a while, she finally said, it's okay. I'm okay. You can go to the bathroom or get a drink or something. Just be back in 10 minutes. I was right back in 10 minutes. And I just didn't dare blow it. And then the next time I brought it up, I said, you know, when we go to this thing, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to do this thing. I'm not going to do that. And she says, I know, we'll see. But she really finally had to say, okay, I get it. You, I trust you again. I know that you're not going to do that again. You get it. And after that, it's fine. She's made her own friends, and she has, you know, more friends than I do here. So we're fine. But it took that. It took, here, you have to actually get more upset about what they're upset about than they are. And that's what makes the difference. And then if you're on the receiving end, you've got to acknowledge and appreciate that person for making those efforts. Any little approximation of what you're talking about has to be picked up on and appreciated. And that's what does it. So if you're the one who the person doesn't trust, also, continue to ask to be forgiven and then ask to be told when you're off the hook. And keep saying, I want you to trust me, I want you to trust me, I want you to trust me. And then behave differently. And look, it's very hard to do this by yourself a lot of times. It's very, very difficult to do this by yourself. And nobody likes to get in the position like once they screwed up, their partner, the consolation prize is their partner is going to stay with them, but they're never, ever going to trust them again. That's like a life sentence. Don't do that. Get some help. Figure out how to get this thing. If you both recommit to the relationship, then recommit to having it be great. Don't recommit to walking wounded, because that's really going to suck. Recommit to having it be great. Anyway, that's what I wanted you to know about all the things that you can do about trust. I'm having my next Powerful Partnerships course is coming up October the 14th. It's an 8-week course from 8 o'clock at night to 9:15, 8 weeks in a row. You get a free session with me. And if you're on this call, I'll give you an extra half hour with me. So it's an hour and a half with me, in addition to a copy of my book, a lot of videos. And I've given this for many, many, many years, and I used to give it in hotels over the weekend, and it was too much material in one weekend. So doing it over 8 weeks works a lot better. And also, I send you the MP3s every night, so if you can't make a Thursday night, don't worry about it. You'll get the MP3s within 24 hours. You can listen to it. You can put it on your phone and listen to it. It helps to hear this stuff again and again. But I have a way, it's a very unique way, of helping people fully forgive each other so it never comes up again. When my wife and I have an argument, we've been together 27 years, when my wife and I have an argument, I never, ever, it doesn't even occur to me to bring up something earlier that sort of throwing in the kitchen sink. It's because I've learned how to forgive completely, and there's a way to do that. And you don't need to have a partner take this course. All you need is one of you. You're in a dance with your partner. So I highly recommend you do that. And if you have worked with me before, you know, and you still feel like you got some issue going on with this, get some coaching about it. At least an hour and a half of it will be free. But after that, you know, I'm available by phone or in person if you're local. But I hope you'll check this out. Go to thecouplescourse.com. And also, I wanted to tell you, I just wrote another e-book. My main book is coming out soon, but I wrote an e-book that's free. And when we get off this call, I'll email you the link to it. And you can just download it. It's a PDF. It's called What to Do and Say When You're Upset. I think it's pretty good. So that's pretty much what I wanted to share with you tonight. Does anybody have any questions?
No.
Jim, the Powerful Partnerships course that you're talking about, is that also teleseminars, or is that in person?
No, it's teleseminar, 8 weeks, from 8 to 9:15, starting on Thursday, October the 14th.
Okay.
It's always on Thursdays?
Yeah, but if you can't make Thursdays, you know, you'll get it the next day in the email. Just listen to it in your car or something. And you can, you know, if you have a specific question that you didn't get it asked because you weren't on the call or something, just email me. I'll
Right. Get
you back. So people like it that way. Just I used to, you had to go on the internet to listen to it, but now I just, heck, I'll just give you the email, I mean the MP3, and put it on your phone, you know, put it on your MP3 player or something, or listen to it, you know. Or you can go online and listen to it, too. Anyway, I hope you'll contact me, and if you have any questions or anything about this, and also I'll send you some other links. I have some free videos that you might like that you're welcome to download. And but I would love it if you'd learn how to do this, because it's a miracle that when you sign up to get the ebook and stuff like this, you'll get my next blog, and some of these blog posts will really sort of explain a little bit more about how powerful partnerships works too. Anyway, any other questions or comments or anything?
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, and if somebody wanted to come on tonight and they didn't get a chance, I'll send you the I'm taping this too, so I'll send you this. If you want to listen to it again, I'll send you this as an MP3 tomorrow. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Nice talking, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.